Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. A Congressional Budget Office analysis warns that sparsely populated areas would take a hit under the U.S. Senate's draft health care reform bill. Alaska Public Media reports that the CBO says most insurance markets would remain stable, but the legislation would either drive insurers out of the sparsely populated areas or premiums there would rise very high. The bill would no longer require Americans to have health insurance, and the CBO says lower subsidies will entice fewer people to buy coverage. The CBO isn't pointing to Alaska, but no other state would lose as much in subsidies, and no other state is as sparsely populated. Insurers are already withdrawing from some markets under the current law. The CBO says the Senate bill will increase the number of uninsured by 22 million and reduce the deficit by $321 billion. U.S. Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke announced yesterday that his department has issued a permit for a study on where to put a road across the Eisenbeck National Wildlife Refuge to connect the village of King Cove to an airport in Cole Bay. Alaska Public Media's Casey Grove reports.
In bad weather, King Cove's airport is inaccessible, and residents must use boats or helicopters to get to the airport in the neighboring community of Cole Bay. Governor Bill Walker says last summer he heard many stories of injured, sick, and elderly King Cove residents risking their lives to get medical treatment.
It's going to save lives, and so this is a good first step and of many steps, but we're glad it's being taken.
The state has long sought authorization from the federal government to build the 11-mile road. Zinke's predecessor, Sally Jewell, visited the community in 2013. Later that year, she decided a road would cause irreversible damage to the refuge and the wildlife that depend on it. The area is an important feeding and resting spot for hundreds of thousands of waterfowl, including nearly the entire populations worldwide of several bird species. Village resident and King Cove Corporation spokeswoman Della Trumbull says, for the human residents in the area, the road is a life or death issue.
A good part of our life has been advocating for this road for this community, and I tell you, after being involved in this for so long, that until I see the signing on the paperwork, it's been a long battle.
Alaska's congressional delegation continues to push for approval of federal legislation in the U.S. House and Senate seeking the road. For Alaska Public Media, I'm Casey Grove.
University of Alaska researchers are planning new strategies to address suicide in Alaska Native communities. An over $4 million federal grant will create a clearinghouse of successful strategies drawn from villages and regions across the state, KUAC's Robert Hannon reports.
The Alaska Native Epidemiology Center says between 2003 and 2015, one in seven Alaska Native high school students attempted suicide. And suicide is the leading cause of death for Alaska Native male teens. Dr. Lisa Wexler has been addressing these and other mental health issues in the Alaska Northwest for more than two decades. She says it's important to realize those statistics are relatively new.
Until the 1960s, there were very few documented Indigenous youth suicide cases. And it really came about as there was rapid change, as there was a new generation of kids that were sort of disempowered.
Wexler is one of the principal investigators of a $4.25 million grant from the National Institute of Mental Health. She says the grant, in part, funds a broad social approach to suicide research.
That allows us to really conceptualize policy solutions, that allows us to conceptualize community-level solutions that we maybe haven't been thinking about as well or as much as we might.
Wexler says the grant will also create a hub at the College of Rural and Community Development at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. Dr. Stacy Rasmus at UAF is another of the principal investigators. The hub, she says, will serve as a clearinghouse of sorts of proven Alaska Native-based community strategies. Data is available from other parts of the country about suicide prevention, she says, but sometimes the contexts don't fit.
Trying to adapt them to fit within a village context or to serve in these widely diverse geographic and cultural communities, they just don't work.
Rasmus says she and her colleagues will develop a tool that is user-friendly and practical so both rural and urban communities can access approaches that work.
So we have a study that will involve 65 communities in three regions to see, you know, if we can create that tool for communities to identify how exactly culture is prevention.
Rasmus says she and her colleagues are already meeting to put the five-year grant to work. In Fairbanks, I'm Robert Hannon.
Firefighters aided by retardant drops and rain have corralled a wildfire west of the Parks Highway. The Alaska Division of Forestry and BLM Alaska Fire Service report that the lightning-caused Kahiltna fire was detected about 80 miles northwest of Wasilla Sunday night, burning in black spruce and hardwoods 28 miles off the Parks Highway. Ground and air attack, followed by substantial rain later Sunday night, subdued the flames, and yesterday a crew secured most of the Kahiltna fire's perimeter and worked remaining hot spots. The fire has burned about 56 acres. The only other wildfire currently staffed in Alaska is the East Fork Fire on the Kenai, where wet weather has reduced activity and mop-up operations have been completed on the over 1,000-acre burn in the Kenai National Wildlife Refuge. Fire suppression agencies are keeping an eye on a remote wildfire that's crossed into Alaska from the Yukon Territory. As of yesterday, the Campbell River fire, sparked by lightning on Monday, had burned about 100 acres in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. The blaze is described as 90% active in black spruce. I'm Dan Bross.